Hello. Hello. There we go. I found it. I do feel better than an hour ago. I agree with you, Lorraine, but I'm like physically tired now.
Well, you're like, just outside your
I don't have that luxury because this is the Cubicorn Games podcast. My name
rest
is Dustin Morbido.
Nope. Ain't no rest for the wicked.
True enough. Joining me today, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true.
Hanging out, touch your phone.
I'm clicking on shit. I'm taking care of some words. Don't worry about me. I'll be done shortly.
Joining us through the internet, Kyle McGrath is here.
Old man winter will never stop me.
Damn right.
Thank God, the magic of the internet. We don't have to.
That's true.
Drive anywhere. We're all safe in our homes, getting slightly more snowed in as every second passes.
Right. Joining us spiritually, Phil McGrath. He may or may not be out in the weather, but if he is.
I hope he's listening to us
in the future.
We're not broadcasting this live.
There's no way to finish that sentence.
I hope he's listening to us this tomorrow with a nice warm cup of cocoa.
Yeah,
snuggled up to something.
Take your socks off and don't move.
Day off, socks off.
Yes.
Man, the weather is like we said earlier. While playing Persona, it's got real wintry real quick. Just like. Zero to winter.
More so than most years, too, actually. At least the past few,
That first one always does feel like it hits, out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of the past few years, in Michigan, anyway, I feel like the snow has come closer to or past Christmas. Like, more into January and February. Like,
I mean, it'll be
first,
bad.
Like, the first really big
too.
Storm. Like, we'll get snow flurries, but not, like... It has been snowing for almost 3 days straight. Like, on and off, and hasn't been, like a blizzard or like a whiteout conditions at all. But
today was the hammer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, there's supposed to be a sunny reprieve tomorrow, and then like four more days of snow. And I'm just
that was
like,
good.
Yeah. Say the other shoe did drop today, and that shoe was made of snow. So. Like you said, it hasn't been like a tundra, but it has been like it just keeps snowing.
It just keeps snowing.
You know, it's flurries or whatever.
I shouldn't say never because of climate change, but. We've had a couple of good years.
Yeah,
where,
we've been really
we've
blessed.
Had a dating back to that year 3-4 years ago where we set the record. Uh-huh. And then every day was just a frozen hellscape
for
3-4 months.
Yeah, I remember the parking lots with just like, that's like 25 feet of snow and it's not gone.
Was that when we were still
snow in that
pile. It's like, I am not shuffling one more time.
Was that when we were still at U of M? Because I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I feel like I remember having to, fight in the parking lots. I kind of mentioned this on the stream as well, because it's just, they don't plow that well, and, I just remember a few times, having to go to,
is not big enough for the number of people that need to park there,
never.
So when they do plow it, it just, cuts it in half, sucks.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Snow's got to go somewhere. Yeah, I just came in from shoveling.
And boy, are my arms tired.
And boy, yeah, exactly.
Keeping it real here.
But yeah, by the time I was done, it was like, I was like, all right, well, there's another half inch where I just finished up, so I guess I'm done for now.
Oh, is it snowing again?
It's still coming down.
There was a break!
Yeah.
Like, when we started streaming, it had kind of stopped. Mm-hmm. When we finished streaming, it had stopped.
It probably started snowing again about 10 minutes after I went outside.
Oh my god.
So, they know.
It's the Michigan J-Frog of weather patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your back. Starts snowing again.
Man.
That's why he's Michigan J Frog.
So yeah, we'll see how things go. We'll see how things go tomorrow. But we might depending on how the weekend is, if it keeps something like this, we might be battering down the hatches a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, how much emergency macaroni and cheese do you have? If I had to ask you to make all the macaroni and cheese you could to sustain yourself, how much could you produce?
I like that you just went straight into the only thing I must have in my cupboard is, a disaster area's worth of blue box macaroni and cheese.
That crap.
I'm some sort of heathen.
I mean, that's how I would like to go out, eating blue box macaroni and cheese,
Oh my god.
Man.
Shivering uncomfortably.
I'm pretty sure the fucking health problems would take you before the water.
Well,
make real macaroni and cheese, kind of.
Yeah,
so.
that's like the slow version of a bullet with a gun with a single bullet. It's like... I can either just wither away, or I can keep eating
macaroni
and cheese.
A gun with a single noodle.
I ate my last box of macaroni and cheese, 3 weeks ago just in a fit of desperation when I didn't want to go anywhere. So I'm currently macaroni-less.
Well, you're going to die. You're not going to make it through.
Oh, I mean, I'm double screwed because I have my car in the shop right now.
Oh, so you can't, like...
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if it gets bad enough, you won't be able to drive the car anyway. Sure. So
I have it. Just let it go.
Exactly.
They call back with the quote. I'm just like, keep it.
Mm-hmm. Check the weather.
Right.
I respect the shit out of the
Amazon
people.
Deliver all my food and supplies from now on.
Yeah.
Drones.
Probably most of them by necessity, but maybe a handful by choice who, like, go out and bike the day after. Like sometimes I'll see a person, like, not when it's, like, currently how bad it is, when it's still coming down or whatever, but, like, maybe the day after, like, a large snowfall where everything's been left out or whatever, seeing someone out there on their bicycle getting some place, I'm like, damn, you're really doing it. Good on you.
When I was walking back from the Firestone today, and this is at about, I don't know, 11:30, before the apocalypse happened, but there was still maybe an inch or two on the ground, and like I could see a couple of tire paths where somebody had clearly been biking, and I just kind of like, I'm not sure if it's impressive or just terrifying that somebody would do that.
A little of both.
I mean, I would be more scared of the traction than the cold, because when you bike, you keep yourself warm enough that you'd be fine.
The physicality of it is not the part that worries me.
Yeah, I would be just terrified of like getting stuck on a bike is not that, like, you could just lift yourself out on like a car, but just like hitting a patch of ice wrong and just, I've had some bad biking experiences on gravel. I don't want to know what it's like on ice. That's a step too far.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny, tiny chains.
tiny bike tire chains. Winterize your bike tires now.
That's right.
You probably, like you said earlier, if you got those, like, I don't know what the deal
they're
is of
like
them.
Off-road,
but, like, the bikes
big,
with the
like,
big fat where it's like a wheel that's like 4 inches across. Mm-hmm. Like, you could probably put chains on that. Like, something.
Hmm. Like a net.
That's right. Chainmail.
Right.
One link
at
a time.
I've seen people make chainmail out of like bottle caps, like, or the pull tabs off of cans. Mm-hmm. So you just do that for your bike tires.
Are these the people LARPing in the park?
Maybe.
With, like, foam swords?
it's been good. Online. Not like, I've just seen a picture of like someone like pushing like step by steps of like, you bend the can tab this way and then they interlock and it's like chainmail or some shit. I'm like, all right. That's too much for me, but
take it down to the Renaissance Festival and sell it for $100.
Right.
Spray paint it gold.
Sure.
You know, everything is better if you spray paint it gold.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now you're thinking.
I mean, that's not a terrible thing. Like, if you're gonna stock up on two things for the snowstorm, it's like non-perishable foods and craft supplies.
Something to do, right?
Look at all this glue. I'm not gonna be bored for days.
The doomsday preppers, they missed that important aspect of it. They stuff all their cellars with baked beans and
exactly,
you know,
cardboard doesn't go bad, man. Construction paper, that shit'll last a lifetime.
Markers might be trickier because they could dry out, but you get your colored pencils, you get your crayons. Exactly.
In a post electronics world,
mm-hmm. all you have is baked beans and the ability to draw a sick ass picture on some green paper.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too late to get the bullet in the chamber? I don't think I like this.
That's right. You gotta devolve. You gotta play like analog video games first. Just, like,
Pong.
It's you and the other survivor playing like Street Fighter, drawing it yourselves one frame at a time.
My OC. You get a flip book. That's what you get, the flip book. It'll be fun.
Oh boy.
Well, I had such talent.
Aren't you excited for the apocalypse, Dustin?
I mean,
you're gonna be stuck here with me.
Any day now.
The way you said that.
It's almost like, as if
you
planned this.
If you had to spend the rest of your life with me, your wife.
Oh man,
I'm delightful.
I mean, if I had to choose one, you know, could do worse. But at the same time, you know, that was positive, not negative. Don't you twist my words. At the same time, it does really, like, I wonder when you would go crazy, because no matter how much you have an affinity for somebody, if you literally were like locked in a room with them in perpetuity,
is that a challenge?
At some point, somebody's gonna throw down. Like, I'm just saying.
Is it? Do you go insane quicker or slower than if you were there by yourself?
That's a good question. It probably depends on the person.
Yeah, it depends on your.
If you're introverted enough, maybe you'd be better off on your own.
Let me tell you, I'm fairly introverted.
There's extremely introverted, but you still have the internet in most cases. And in this case, you're literally just by yourself.
Yeah. I bet. Like, thanks. Super introverted might actually be a very crippling, like, Achilles heel for a no internet apocalypse situation.
Just like you don't have the required stimulus period. Just like something to.
You're probably not going to go out and try to find other people because you don't know how to deal with other people. Not going to. Potentially not know how to get food or, like, procure food that isn't, like, put boiling water in this cup noodle and whatever.
Lorraine, if you had to pick, like, a, I guess not a desert island, but, like, a snow-covered bunker analog, like, a board game, either, like, classic or, like, modern, what would your, like, your one game, you're running out of the house and you're picked up, like, your can of beans, your cat, and a board game?
Presumably I'm alone, correct?
Well, let's say you have, like, a partner. Okay. Like, let's put it in the two-person scenario.
I mean, I don't know.
Like, would you go checkers or chess? Or, like, Catan?
I mean, I could learn chess. Maybe Risk is what you do, because it takes so long, like, each game. Like, and you could also potentially, like, step away from it. Like, if you really need to.
Games with, like, parts like that, too. Like, you could also make up lots of other games that aren't Risk with the pieces of Risk.
That's
a good point.
You could just play Yahtzee with the dice. You could come up with some other little game with, like, the little figures. Like,
yeah.
That's a good... The world is your oyster with Risk. Like, you can invent a lot of games with
Risk. Like, there's a lot of shit in there. You have, like, a map of the world, too.
I was going to say Dominion, but... I still don't have anything necessarily better, but... I don't know.
Sure.
I don't want to be trapped in a cellar with only beans and one board game. So,
but that's not a terrible answer. Like, I'll take it. Like, I would probably go. Like, I really like Risk now that you said Risk. but I was going to say Go just so I could, like, thing you said with chess. So I could, like, spend the rest of my life trying to solve that game and get, like, you know, one 10,000th of the way there.
Or maybe Mahjong, so I can actually fucking learn what Mahjong is aside from, like, the match two, like, computer game that is
put the, like, the Microsoft Mahjong
just so like easy
this
to
tile
learn
the same as that tile
difficult to master type game that can, like, I can build strategy with, or like shoji or something like that, like
Pai Sho.
Nice. I like it.
Delightful.
But it is in all seriousness, crappy weather times are, like, a decent, like, video games are good, but analog games are also, there's something that's, like, similar to, but obviously not the same as, like, curling up around a warm fire, like, sitting down and opening a physical cardboard box and, like, setting up a board game and playing it when the weather's shitty outside.
Only if it's got that new board game smell.
That's right. How does the ink hit you? That's like,
what especially if there's styrofoam packing.
Yeah.
What about the Stone Age cup?
Not the Stone Age cup, no.
Yeah, I don't want it to smell like body odor. I don't want the contact high of cold, hard machinery. Just like, I smell the lubricants and the, like,
fucking
all
lathes.
The hideous chemicals that went into making this product. Like... Yeah, I don't want like an odor. I want a contact high for my brand new board game.
You're nuts.
Oh man, board games are good. Video games are pretty good.
Yeah.
Lorraine, what have you been doing in the world of video games?
I hope it had some sort of ballad.
What? Not yet. I'll get there.
You haven't even booted it up yet.
I did download it.
Okay.
It is on my. Breath of the Wild is updated and ready to go because I had already purchased the DLC.
Your Switch is locked and loaded.
Yes, in the dock. but the savings were just right that we finally picked up Ultra Sun. And we saved maybe like $20 off of it or whatever, close to that.
More than, I have to do the math again.
That's
it was like the ultimate, I stacked like two or three Meijer deals at once. Because I also bought a copy of Xenoblade. That I will hopefully play some amount of someday.
I think it's strange that you bought that game and I didn't.
I mean, if you feel like playing it, the next time I see you, I'll just give you my copy and you can give it back to me when you've had like
a
satisfactory experience. Because then at least I know someone will play it. Because there's probably a 10% chance that I'll never boot that up at all. And there's like a 85% chance that I wouldn't get deeper than like 5 hours into it. Like, I still want to try it, but it just, those games escape me. Anything that's just too long is almost out of my wheelhouse at some point. But yeah, Meijer had some crazy deal where they buy one, get one 40% off of games.
Mm-hmm.
And then
games had you get a $10 coupon off your next purchase.
They had games flagged where if you bought them you got a $10 coupon for your next shopping trip. And then they had Santa Bucks, which is a coupon that gives you 20% off of like set dollar
values. Yeah, certain tiers.
So I put all those things together and got like the Santa Bucks coupon on both and the buy one get one 40% off by buying them together and a $10 coupon for buying each one. So like basically Pokemon was more than free. They basically paid me like $4 or $5 for taking a copy of Pokemon, and then also I got Xenoblade.
How bad could it be, which
was enough incentive for me to finally like knuckle down and actually play it, and it's been a slog because I
heard it was pretty good personally.
I mean, if it's from what I've seen so far, I've only just gotten to the second island. Because I've been doing some, like, between all the freaking shoveling I've been doing.
Think of how swole you'll be.
That's right. So swole. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. Oh, slight tangent. Last year, when I had to do, like, my multiple days in a row of shoveling, I was destroyed. But this year, I'm actually fine. So nice. I think that, like, some of, like, the exercising stuff that I've done, quite a few batches of push-ups and side planks over the course of this past year.
Look at you. Real-ass exercise.
So what the hell's a side plank?
You're right.
Exercises that I've never even heard of.
So you're like I'm still using Wii Fit, so there's that. So it's a push-up and a side plank. So you'll do a push-up, and then you'll go up on one arm and bring your other one up into the air, and then come back down, and then do it on the other side after another push-up.
Okay.
Like, it's a workout. But clearly, I'm stronger now. Anyway, Pokemon. Sun and Moon also started off pretty slow because they hold your hand through a lot of the first island, which was fun going through a second time.
Because the thing I was going to ask you is, like, do you remember those games, the original unmodified ones, well enough to, like, is anything about it different yet?
Yes.
Like, is it only stuff in the end game that's really changed, or?
So they've added, like, there are these two new characters that might be robots. I'm not sure. They're from Alter Space. That's all I know, because I looked at promotional material that was leaked through, like, Korokoro scans and stuff on Cerebi, like, months ago. And they're different, and they've, like I was kind of talking about on the stream, they're shoehorning in all of these extra steps that I have to do anything. Like, you beat the kahuna. Go take a picture. You have to do this. Go take a picture. Put stickers on it. I'm like, no. And then, like, Kukui and Lily are like, we're going to get on the boat, which is how you got to the next island. And Hao's all like, no, I'm going to go surf on the Mantine. So I had to do that mini game, and the tutorial wouldn't end, and I wanted to die. And then they made me do an actual run of it. And I'm pretty sure that's how I'm getting to each island. And it's not fun. And
so that first game is like you booked your own vacation to Hawaii.
Well, you moved there.
Well, whatever. But I'm in my analogy. And this one is like you're part of a tour group where they're like,
sure.
All right, kids, come on.
I mean, the first one had that, too, because you were basically like dragged along through everything.
You've got a full slate of activities.
Protagonist still has the goddamn 1,000-yard stare, unmoving expression that is just so unsettling.
You've got a slate of activities.
That's par for the course for Pokemon for a while.
That the video game won't let you opt out of.
Yes. I tried. I wanted to. The boat rides were cute in the first game. Like, it was the four of you guys on the boat. You're just kind of talking and hanging out. But now it's like, extreme sports! And I'm like, no, stop it. The Surfing Pikachu game was novel in yellow, but it was also optional. I don't want to do this. But
it's been a long time since I played a Pokemon game, but I'm trying to remember like what sort of mini games I would go back to. And like, Voltorb Flip, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah.
How could I forget?
That's the greatest one. I don't think there's a better one, honestly.
Right, that's A tier.
Yeah.
It's a game that's worth playing by itself. Like, you might boot that up and play Voltorb Flip for 20 minutes.
Probably actually have done that with Heart Gold in the past. Like, I'm not going to lie. There's a reason I've got, like, 300 hours on that game. But it's just, I mean, like I mentioned also on the stream, because I talked about this briefly, like, this is par for the course for third titles for Pokemon games. All of them have done this before, but it's just, I don't know. I still don't know if it's just they tried to push the 3DS too much, and if it actually runs better on a new 3DS, but some of the load times, like in between sections, and even just like going to the home screen are brutal. Like it's, and I'm on a, like just on an XL, like it's not even, okay. I have upgraded past my launch 3DS a long time ago, probably about like 3 years now, but like all of Gen 6, there was nothing like this, but the past two, Sun and Moon and Ultra, like, it's really chugged, and it's very strange.
I remember Smash Brothers being like that when I had it.
The load
times were not good. And
it's similar to that, actually.
I wonder internally how much they're like, yeah, well, we don't care if it has bad load times because we have a fancy new model that won't have bad load times. So
yeah, I don't know.
Go wild.
I'm interested to know if there
is a way to buy a new 3DS.
Yeah, you should put it in my 3DS, like in the new 3DS that
we've
have.
Also got Moon too, right? We could try it with that.
Yeah,
like,
and it was, see if it's like actually I said, different
it was or this,
not.
It was the same problem in both games. I haven't noticed a change, and I'm assuming it's the same engine, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean,
they always push those games to the limit.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's so obnoxious, like, I mean, I know, like, the world is so much bigger, the models are bigger, everything is more detailed, I get it. But still, like, it doesn't...
Because depending on what the bottleneck is there, the extra RAM in that other console could make the difference. Like, if they have to if they have to basically, like, empty the memory and, like, refill it up for the battle sequences or whatever on the old one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Surprise me.
Yeah.
It could be. But I'm getting a weird team together. I had to choose Litten, because they haven't put the patch out yet, but there was a bug that caused the game to just, like, freeze or, like, crash or whatever when you picked him. So I had to know if it was going to happen. It didn't happen to me.
Tempted fate.
Yeah.
For Vaughn.
My Glitten's name is Elgato. He's a Tora cat now. I haven't decided if I'm evolving him past that or not, because Incineroar is really creepy.
Happy Hanukkah.
I don't like him. But I've got a Wingull. I've got a Zora. And I'm going to get a Dedenne because fuck it. I don't even care at this point.
Polipper's solidly OU these days, I'm pretty sure.
Huh?
Polipper.
Oh, yeah. He's bulky. He's a big boy.
No, he has a good ability.
Which one?
That's pretty much it.
What does it do?
Which one is it?
Oh, he has, I don't remember the name, but it's the one that just causes rain when it comes in.
Oh, Drizzle. That's his hidden ability, though. I don't have a hidden ability
That's
one.
That's funny.
Oh, well, then your Wingull's garbage. Sorry.
I don't care. He's going to be good enough to beat everyone in the game anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat it.
If you ever take that online, man, you'll
Fuck
get
no.
stopped.
Right.
Never. Ugh. I'm past that life. I was kind of at that the peak of that in X and Y, and I'm probably never going back. I did all right. I won something. My favorite victory was when my Murkrow beat a Mewtwo. Like, he foul-played him, and he just died instantly. It was so funny.
It was a Murkrow, not even a...
It was a Murkrow. He had an Eviolite. I saved that video. That's like the one video, like, because you know how you can save, like, battle replays or whatever?
Yeah.
I've got it. It's great. Because I had, like, two Pokemon, because I think I was hatching eggs, and one of them was this Murkrow. And it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. But, Ultra Sun.
That's about it?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, play until you, like, if you really think you're hating
it. I want to beat it. Like, I'm not going to let it beat me.
Yeah, I would like to know, like, if you do get through it, what the content differences are.
I mean, I have a fairly good idea of the general, like, new additions to it. Like, there's a bunch. They added, I think, basically all of the big legendaries. Like, your Mewtwos, your Ho-Oh Lugia.
Course
all
are they just like
guys.
Worlds
I
like just they
are
somewhere
know.
Like Mewtwo's in a cave someplace
no
you can find
they're
them
probably
and...
in fucking ultra space because why the fuck not put everything in ultra space
wait,
I don't
wait,
even
wait,
care
wait this game is called Ultra Moon and you go into ultra space
oh you went into ultra space like, in the first
is
ones
a, was it
is that
ultra
like a rocket
beats.
Ship like
no
is it,
there's a fucking portal
is the moon actually called the Ultra Moon
no
so you're saying this is like a Stranger Things, like this is a parallel universe, other
Maybe.
World, something.
I don't know.
It's not
the
like
the lady turned into a jellyfish in the last game. It was really
you
weird.
You get on a rocket and like escape the.
You get on a fucking Solgaleo or a Lunala or whatever the fuck the bat's name is, and you fly into ultra space.
So maybe you do, oh, that's so...
Pokemon!
Alright.
Really jumped the shark.
Yeah, that's...
Hell yeah, they did.
Okay.
The Sharpedo.
That's why I didn't like Sun and Moon in the first place.
What's it look like? What's the...
It's just fucking blue. It's
okay.
like blue and
it's just
purple,
like like the time, the hyperbolic time chamber in DBZ? It's no, just like a vast emptiness.
There's just, you're there for like 2 seconds in the first games, and there's like a fucking city in these ones.
Who lives there?
I don't know.
So is it Pokemon?
I think it's the weird people.
Is it
the
like...
people who I think are robots. I don't know why they're here. They keep following me around. The guy fought me with like a Psyduck.
Is it like
it was strange.
The civilization from one of those Mystery Dungeon games? It's just a bunch of Pokemon who have made a society?
Unfortunately, no. I wish. Oh, that'd be so good. That would redeem this game so hard. I love those Mystery Dungeon games so much.
Just meet a Charizard. Yeah. So like, yeah, I'm late for work.
The fuck? Pelipper delivers the mail there. He always
has. They had Pelipper delivering the mail and not Delibird?
Yeah.
Come on.
If you ordered something from Amazon and it had a 50-50 chance of arriving there or exploding in your face, what would you want?
That's success rate. It's not quite.
Why is this the scenario? I'm not sure.
Because Delibird's move is present. That's all he can learn. It either heals you or explodes.
I mean, he's a deliverer. He delivers.
Yeah, but he's bad.
I assume he can be trained to not blow up.
I don't know.
He's not using the move present. He's just delivering for you.
He's presenting you. your
That's right. I would think there's probably a distinction between, like, activating that ability and, like, you could probably just give him something like...
Who knows?
Here, the take this
item.
Take like this
carrier pigeon.
Sampler plate over to my friend there.
Boom!
Natural evolution of a Delibird is pretty messed up if it can't control itself and just randomly explodes during tasks.
Hey, man. Survival of the fittest.
Something like that.
That's such a sad life.
Wow. Huh.
You know where Delibird also isn't?
Where?
Pokemon Go.
Oh, look at you. Picking up that ball and running with it. You know what isn't Pokemon Go?
Weather.
The weather. That's the thing in that game now, which is pretty cool, actually.
Really?
So yeah, the latest content update for that game, basically like...
50 Pokemon from Gen 3.
Right, because the parallels are still like... It's so weird that they're kind of similar, but they are basically both living games in the same sense that like... The content drop like Destiny style for Pokemon Go in December was a bunch of Gen 3 guys... And then that game has real-time weather representation now. So whatever the weather is outside, they pull data from some service.
Who knows?
Like, I don't know if it's just like, you know, the Weather Channel app or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have some deal where they pull data from some service, and basically every 30 minutes, it'll update with like an accurate representation of pretty much what the weather is in the
What's
area.
What's the weather in the Pokemans
including
now?
Right now, where I think it's just extreme, because like everything's fucked up.
Well, I think it's the temperature. I think that's actually why it's been saying extreme.
Yeah, because there's like, people have complained about it online that it'll basically just throw up a giant warning screen before it'll let you play. You have to dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
If there is like
go out in bad weather,
right?
It just says extreme. Like it's not actually snowing anymore.
If there's like a weather service, like I think it's if there's an official like weather service alert going on, mm-hmm. that's like the way they flag that. So it'll throw up because like it was doing it for things like just like temperatures being, you know, like colder than usual, or like a lot of the areas where there were wildfires in California, that was happening. Well, I guess it still is happening, but it started when this update had rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
So like people there were experiencing that same. That same warning screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I still personally think that that's like probably twofold. Like I think that the development team, I think the development team doesn't want to encourage people to go out in potentially dangerous weather situations. And I bet there's like at least one lawyer.
Yeah,
sure.
At that company, that's like, look, you can't
have
this mechanic on to like to encourage people to walk out into like 110 degree weather. Like it's a bad idea.
I bet they've gotten at least one lawsuit already because somebody doing something stupid while they were distracted by Pokemon Go.
Yeah, because there are legitimate... So when it's not that state, basically when it's any normal weather state, and I believe the ones in the game are like cloudy, partially cloudy, sunny, or clear if it's night. Like clear is like the sunny equivalent when it's nighttime. Windy,
snowy, and rainy.
Each of those has a modifier in the game that makes Pokemon of certain corresponding types spawn more frequently, and the spawns that occur in that weather condition have higher levels and higher IVs on average. And all the moves of that type get a 20%, like, they basically get an additional stab bonus, like it's another 20%.
Like the game.
Right. but it's just like, if you're gonna keep updating that game, I think that's a super smart way to do it. Like, I think that updating it in that way for the alternate reality aspect of it is really clever, as opposed to just saying, like, the cameras now, like, you can take AR photos, but they're way better now. which I guess is part, like, they upgraded that in this update, too. Okay. But, like, the fact that they're up in, like, iterating on that game so that since it takes place in, like, a representation of your real physical space, mm-hmm. like, that's even more gameplay relevant now. I think that's really smart. It's just a really neat thing.
And like the overworld changes, like
yeah, snowfalls. Like the map looks way cooler now because mm-hmm. it'll show you the weather state. Yeah, it'll have like active snowfall and stuff like that, and that looks really neat.
Mm-hmm.
The particle effects look pretty cool. Like when you touch a guy and go in to catch him, like the snowflakes actually look kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. Like when it's like snowy or whatever. It's a very clever thing. Like, for them to, like, I think that's a smart route to go. I'd be interested, like, it'll be really weird to see what they might, like, what their next big thing is.
Because
mm-hmm. I think it's actually way smarter than just having the next great update be, like, a just make it more like a Pokemon game. Like, I think it's more clever than trading. I think it's more clever even than PvP in terms of, like, this game is not a regular Pokemon game. It's not mm-hmm. the exact same thing. It's something else. Like, I think it plays to, if you're still playing that game today, you're not necessarily playing it because it is a Pokemon game, like mm-hmm. because it is a Pokemon game the way that the DS games are. So I think that this change like plays to the strengths of what that game like is, of what the game is yeah. to the people who play it.
Mm-hmm.
Enhanced immersion.
And it tweaks the numbers in fun ways where it makes like some certain raid instances
a lot easier or clever, a lot harder.
Yeah, way easier or way harder. Depending on the weather conditions, and it makes some of the higher level ones, like, you can take them down to, like, a 3 or 4 man squad to, like, a 2 man squad, like, there's Nidoking and Nidoqueen are in raids now, which nobody gives a shit, because yeah, they're awful.
It's fucking terrible.
If you wanted to
compared
do them...
Compared to the other Pokemon that are in the same tier as them, it's really awful.
Yeah, if you wanted to do them...
Like Tyranitar.
Right. If you wanted to do them, you can technically 2-man them now, if you catch them in the right weather state, of, like, Rainy definitely works... with mm-hmm. the right water lineup. And I think Sunny might, too, for grass guys.
Sure. Snowing. They're weak to ice.
Yeah, but the ice doesn't... Ice types don't have quite the DPS that... like, I just think the Pokemon that are ice types are not quite as good as, like...
This is my dumb, nerdy question about this, because in the game, the original Pokemon game, Sun and Water would give you the extra stab bonus, but not ice, not snow. Does it get it in this?
Yeah, every single type
is accounted for.
Yeah, type is accounted for with one of those weather conditions. So, like, yeah, everything on the wheel is represented.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And there's no detriment.
Oh, Foggy is another one, because Foggy is, like, one of the... I think it's Foggy is the only one I haven't seen yet, because that's dark and ghost types get a bonus in Fog.
Also, like, when do we see Fog?
Well, yeah. But, yeah, dark and ghost are Fog. Windy is psychic, flying, and dragon. Sunny is ground, fire, and grass.
Okay.
Rainy is water, and what the fuck else? There's at least one other one that's in the rain.
I have no
partially
idea.
Partially cloudy is normal and rock, and I think just straight up cloudy is...
Fairy and poison.
Fairy, poison, and...
Rock?
No, rock's partially cloudy. Fairy, poison, and fighting. That's the last.
Fighting.
What was flying?
Windy. Flying is windy.
Okay.
And then snow is ice and steel.
There you go. Yeah, so it was ice and steel. Yeah.
Yep.
That's convoluted.
A little bit. But there's a, like, you can click on an icon and it will tell you the weather and
yeah,
who
you don't
is,
need
like,
to,
yeah, you don't
you
need
don't
to,
need to
that.
Memorize that, luckily, because there is a little, like, there's a tiny HUD element that shows, like, a Weather Channel style, like, it's a sun with a cloud over it, and then if you right. touch that button with your finger, it pulls up a whole screen that's like, here's who's, what the weather yeah. condition is, here's how it modifies the game.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Pokemon that are brought by the weather have, like, an effect around them, so you get, like, another just kind of
yeah, they
indicator.
Basically just have, like, another visual, like, particle effect thing yeah. that says, like, hey, these Pokemon are modified. And if you click on guys in your, like, inventory, they have a HUD element that shows, like, the damage modifier on the attacks. Mm-hmm. So, actually, it's pretty smart.
They've done a good job of letting
yeah,
you know and not hiding
it. It's smart in a forward-facing way for people who... you know, are still playing that game in a casual sense. Like, you can tell that something's different
mm-hmm.
Without having to dig, like, deep in any real meaningful way, but...
Like normal Pokemon games.
Yeah. And then other stuff they did, there was super boring, like, fiddly stuff. Like, they tweaked Ho-Oh stats and then rolled them back, and nobody still knows what that was about. And then they shuffled, like, the
moves
move pools
around.
Of, like, maybe 7 or 8 different guys. Gyarados got Waterfall. That's the only... He has a double water stab set now. That's the only meaningful change that they made in terms of, like, what kind of fights are achievable. Because it took... It changed, like, Ninetales is one of the current raid bosses, and it changed that from being, like, there was only one person on Earth who had recorded a successful Ninetales solo, and now you can just do it. If you have enough Gyaradoses with Waterfall, you can just roll it over. It's fine.
Bye, Ninetales.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a cool, like, that's a cool thing that was kind of unexpected, too, because, like, people knew that they were going to roll out Gen 3 guys, which is a pretty, you know, average, uninteresting, run-of-the-mill update. Just like, hey, this game has more Pokemon in it.
When you first said that it had weather in it, I associated it with Gen 3 being in it, and I thought it just meant it was just going to rain all the time. every encounter, rain, rain, rain.
That's pretty good.
And Zigzagoons.
And trumpets.
Mm-hmm. There was some interview with one of the devs today, because they were asked if, like, are you guys going to make it snow for Christmas? And they said that they're specifically not going to, like...
Make weather.
Yeah, that is going to be an AR feature only. Like, they're not going to instance
weather
within the game arbitrarily. Cool. It's just going to be, look, man, if it's snowy where you are, hey, guess what? You get a white Christmas.
If you live in London, it's raining.
Right, yeah.
That's where it's raining.
If you live in LA, it's sunny. I hope you like your fireplace. Just fog. Yeah.
Sunny.
No, that's where it's fog all the time. Because of the smog.
Very different. Not the same.
China.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Ugh.
Bleh.
But yeah, that's... I was enjoying that until, like, the weather turned to shit, and then it became very difficult to enjoy a game about walking around.
Yeah. I spent enough time outside today. It was not fun.
But that update is cool. Like, I'm into it.
It's neat.
Again, I don't know that it's, the kind of thing that's going to convert people who have lapsed on that game, but I think it's a smart way to take it for people who are still playing it. And it's still a little surprising to me how active, like, the community that is playing that game is. Like, there are still... They still cite, like, 20 million daily active users, which, like, I bet half of those are bots, maybe more.
Yeah.
But, like, there's still a shitload of people playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's real crazy.
I mean, it's out in, like, China, right?
China's, I think, one of the only countries that it's not officially out in. Like, I think that it's probably going to launch in China soon, because I remember seeing stuff online about people who are there with, like, non-Chinese accounts have seen, like, there's more game data populating in the region recently.
Right.
China, I think, is one of the only countries where it doesn't exist, but it is in the vast majority of the world, like, certainly most of the globe.
Mm.
That's cool. It's fun.
Pokemans.
Like I said, it'll be more playable when there's less snow, because there are limits to...
Might be a month or two.
Yeah, the kind of weather you can walk around in, but it's a neat thing.
Yeah.
What else? Have you been playing anything else? I can think of one other thing that I can throw out there.
Throw it out there.
It's really just been...
Played it in the last 4 or 5 days, but I think it was mid last week. I started killing the shit out of some Nazis in that first Wolfenstein game.
I've heard that's good.
I'm liking it so far. It makes me, because I bought the second one, and I had bought the first one. It was one of those things where I had bought it a long time ago when it was on deep discount, like after it had been out for like a year and it was like $15. And I was like, sure, I'll buy this and put it on the pile of shame and maybe play it at some point. And I had it and never booted it up. And then I bought the second one, because I heard that it was even, like, people were liking it more than the first one, and it also was, like, on sale over Black Friday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't know which one, like, I didn't know if I was just going to jump into the second one or start the first one. So I did start playing the first game, and I'm probably, like, 5 or 6 hours into it, but it's pretty good. Like, it is a single-player-only, like, linear story-based first-person shooter, which there honestly aren't that many of these days.
Right, it's a dying breed.
Because like Call of Duty is kind of like the campaigns
What's
in those
games,
right? The campaigns in those games are basically ancillary to, you know, unlocking your weed pot leaf to put on your AR-15 or whatever.
I mean, it doesn't come army standard,
right? Exactly, you know,
as they do.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one has a weed leaf on it.
This one's dank AF.
This one's dank as fuck. Yeah.
Dank AF.
Exactly. But no, it's pretty good, and I'm still, I've heard some impressions about the second one that I still actually see some of those things in this game. Like, it is impressive that, the character who is still named BJ Blazkowicz, which is fucking ridiculous. like, just inherently, that is fucking insane.
It's a name, alright.
But they pronounce it, like, they don't pronounce it quite that way. They go, like, Blazkowicz. Like, they make it more like a real name and less like a ridiculous pun.
Isn't he supposed to be Jewish?
Well, so in these games, he totally is. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that was the case in, like, original Wolfenstein. I think it was just a funny, like, it sounds like explosion. but in this game, like, that is part of the narrative is that he is, like, a Jewish heritage and he is killing the shit out of these Nazis and he's really good at it.
Good job, guy. Get him.
So, is like a thing that is in the narrative of this game. And they, like, they humanize him. Like, they go to extent to humanize him in a way that, like, you don't really expect from first-person shooters, and you definitely wouldn't expect from a game that, like, he was basically just, like, an angry icon.
Yeah.
Like, the Return to Castle Wolfenstein or whatever. It was just a face at the bottom of the screen that got bloodier as you took damage. Like, that was the character. Mm-hmm. And in this game, like, they actually, like, it opens, the first action sequence is, like, you're, like, storming Castle Wolfenstein in, like, this crazy, like, you're a part of the 101st Airborne, apparently, and, you're storming the castle trying to fuck up this horrible Nazi scientist, but before that, the, like, cutscene thing that they go to start that game off is, like, him pontificating about, like, he wishes he could just have, like, a regular life someday. It's like a cutscene of him and this imagined, like, he's laying in, like, on, like, a patio in a chair, like, you know, it's sunny and, like, his wife's cooking burgers and he's just like, I wish I could just have, like, a family and, like, a life where everything isn't about killing Nazis. And then cut to
killing
the shit out of some fucking Nazis.
He wakes up from his dream and he's got, like, a bloody Nazi skull in his hand.
Right. But that is interesting. Like, it's interesting that they even bother to do that, because they could just, like, it could only be just, like, killing the shit out of Nazis. And the fact that they even bothered to try to put that in there is, like, I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it makes that game stand apart from, you know...
I mean, it sounds like one of the, like, the strongest part of these new Wolfenstein games is the, like, the story and the writing stuff. Like, maybe not so much the actual, like, shooting.
Yeah.
Like, that definitely takes a back... seat to, like,
mm-hmm.
what is happening around you, and at least from what I've kind of heard about too, how absurd this stuff gets.
Yeah, and I'll get to some of that, like, I'll get to the shooting part, because that's actually been pretty good too, and kind of exceeded my expectations. Uh-huh. But as far as the narrative stuff, like, it is definitely, like, an important part of those games, and, like, it's not all like that, like, it's not,
sure,
it is both, like, they both ground it, and also it is totally ridiculous. Like, the action sequence that you're in is, like, you're in a plane that, like, explodes to some degree three or four times and then crashes, and you survive the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are robot Nazi dogs.
Excellent.
That you have to dodge, or, like,
as
you somehow tear them apart with your bare hands. Like,
as one does.
Like, a robot Nazi dog will jump on you and, like, snap its jaws, and you just have to, like, mash the melee button, and you just stab this robot dog, like, 7 or 8 times until it stops trying to bite your face.
Damn. Down, Fido.
But it has, like, it also has that. It has, like, cartoonishly ridiculous violence, like, on top of the part where they're, like, taking the story semi-seriously. I know that I haven't gotten to them yet, but I know they do go as far as, like, I don't remember if it's this game or the second game or both, because I just heard some impressions from people who have played them both. Like, that's the thing that made me want to play them in the first place. But they do go as far as, like, they go there with, like, actual Nazi atrocities. Like, there's a concentration camp sequence in one of these games, and I'm not going to render judgment until I get to it.
Yeah, that's,
like,
weird.
But the fact that they're trying to do that is, like... precarious and bold. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it'll be well executed or not until I get to it and see it for myself. But
sure.
They're going there. Like, they're not... Nazis aren't just, like, mustache twirling. Like, they're actually showing some of the evils that, you know, real-world Nazis were responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, like...
And that's important, like... to bring in, like, if executed correctly, that's an important part of the narrative that shouldn't be glossed over.
It's just going to be really hard to, like, it's hard to put all that together.
Yes.
Like, it's hard to put the horrors of war together in a game where you can just, like, dual-wield shotguns and just pump Nazis full of, like, as many shotgun shells as you could squeeze off by making your fingers go very fast.
It's a fine line.
But there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of, like, some of the stuff that I've seen so far at least makes me, like, hopeful that they'll get, you know, as close as you're going to get in a first-person shooter starring a guy named BJ Blazkowicz to, like, paying off some of that stuff in a way that isn't totally, like, unsavory,
try,
I guess.
Try to be tasteful somehow.
Because, yeah, the, like I said, that, like, the early sequence, and there's, like, other grounded moments where, like, there's the, there's, he gets a love interest, and there's a sex scene early on, which is, like, as far as video games go, it's pretty good. Like, it's,
okay. It's no just heavy in terms rain, of being, like, just like...
Like, do you know what I'm saying? Because, like, in video games that in video games that try to depict sex, it is fairly ridiculous.
Look up the Heavy Rain sex scene. Just do that. Like, it's very, like, it's fairly tame, basically, but it's also the most awkward fucking thing
if you played a BioWare game, like, be it Mass Effect or Dragon Age or whatever, every single one of those games, if you get to the certain point in, like, a in the relationship with the right character, you can bone somebody, and it is, like, patently ridiculous. It is just the most... It is the least representative thing of...
just dry humping on a bed.
Yeah, it's like...
Rubbing those 3D models against each other.
And now they kiss.
Okay.
But, like, the thing that they do in this game is just, like... it's just from a distance and just for a short enough amount of time that, like...
It doesn't overstay its welcome, and it's not, like it's, up close, like...
Exactly.
Here's the crazy angle!
Right, it's the opposite of the violence. It's not like, hey, here's some titties, kids! Like, it's just like, subtle enough. Like,
I don't think you can sell this on me to me as being not gratuitous when it's in a Wolfenstein game.
Well, sure, and, like, it's just, like, like I said, it's so weird that... It's weird that that character is even that human. Like, that's the part that's, like, it's weird that he even can have sex at all. Like, it's weird that he has any emotion other than rage and
death.
The desire to rend Nazi flesh a twain.
I'm not going to, I don't want to spoil anything because this is apparently a fairly big scene in the second game. But I read an article about you encounter Hitler in the second one. Like, actually, like, he's there. But he's just, like, a guy. Like, he's a very, like, bigoted, like, you can tell, like, he's just spouting, like, just slurs and stuff all over the place. But he's just, like, he's from, like, I watched a little bit of the, like, the cutscene that he's into, because I guess they're, like, casting, like, they're trying to make a movie about...
Yeah, I know about some of the details of this, where basically he's, like, he's in, like, semi-retirement, because these games take place, like, the intro is still in, like, the 40s in actual World War II, but these games take place in, like, 1960.
Yeah.
Where, like, BJ has, like, he comes out of a vegetative state, basically, and jumps right back into killing
Germany
Nazis.
Germany won the war.
But, this is a man
alternate,
in high castle.
Yeah.
Germany won the war, and now he's, like, part of a resistance force.
Mm-hmm. And just, like, the way, like, he's not just some, like, cartoonish villain. Like, he obviously still, like, is Hitler, like, completely, but the, like, it was very interesting to watch, like, because it almost gives me a little faith
that some
about,
of that other stuff might
some of that other stuff, like, if they can handle that, like you said, the Nazis aren't just, like, mustache twirling guys, but they're also, like, people, like, this
it'll
is,
be
this,
really
this actually, like, these were actual people, not just, like, I mean, Hitler is basically as close to, like, Satan or whatever as you could probably cram into a person somehow, but he was also a person.
Yeah.
And
well, the other thing
it's
about
interesting.
Yeah, I think the thing that's from that scene, because when I have heard other people basically describe some of the things that the second game does better than the first game, is, and I've seen this probably, like, for the most part to be true from the little I've played of the first game so far, is that the first game is still a little more in
the old Wolfenstein.
Well, there's, like, when you see representations of Nazis in media, like, after the fact, like, basically in more modern media that, like, looks back on that time, I think there's, like, an accidental sort of lionization of Nazis in that they're, like, they're almost always depicted as being, like, hyper-capable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are always on their shit, and they are better than you, but, like, somehow, you know...
But they're evil.
These scrappy young Americans or
the underdog
British
story.
Or whatever, like, right. Yeah. They somehow, against all odds, manage to, you know, defeat them. And that wasn't, like, historically speaking...
No.
That wasn't the case at all like, many of the things that brought down Nazi Germany were their hubris and their mismanagement, and, like, they were not the, like, perfectly tuned...
killing machines,
like, unstoppable, unstoppable, unbeatable force.
Mass-produced, like, clone army, basically.
Yeah, that I think that, like, some of that perception has, like, become over time.
The pageantry of the past, like... glossing over that to
and there's a lot more of that in the first game so far than I guess, like, the second game does a better job of showing some of the cracks, like, basically showing that they are totally, like, that they are capable of being incompetent and bumbling, and, like, they are not perfect, like, unbeatable, you know, from a like functional standpoint infallible, like, they totally can be fuck ups and yeah, that they can be human, not in the, like, in just that, like, they bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there aren't
to
this, like, monolith that can be, like, that if we just have enough grit, we can take down, like, that they are actually...
It's
in
no,
addition
like,
to being,
Hydra or anything
right, in
like
addition
that.
To being morally reprehensible, like, they are not perfect.
Yeah.
Like, they are not perfectly capable, like, robotic. Like, they have flaws.
Most of them are just, dumb kids.
Yeah, because my understanding of that depiction of Hitler is that he's, like, he's very much an old, broken, this is the 60s, and he is, like, far past his prime, and he's basically, like, barely holding it together.
And this is, like, this is the only time you see him in either game, like, physically in front of you. Like, there's propaganda, obviously, there's propaganda and stuff everywhere.
Right.
But this is your only encounter with him, and, like, it was... kind of surreal. Like, it was a weird thing, because I think they nailed it. Like, what, like, a megalomaniac, basically pure evil dictator past his prime. Like, it was weird. Very bizarre. I'll be interested. I would like to hear more if you keep playing this game about, like, either both of them.
Yeah. Maybe I'll play a little bit of it with you, too, because, like I said, the shooting parts are, it's
whatever.
Just
yeah,
gunning
it's,
guys down.
I mean, it's
so
a game.
So there's not that,
like,
much to take away from it. Like, from a... like, watching it as a, like, a...
as a game.
Without playing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. As a spectator. But yeah, I definitely, like, from everything I've heard and what I've seen so far, I'd want to try to finish them both, because it is just so crazy to me that they took a franchise that was just, like, both old and, like, about blowing shit up and killing Nazis, and, like, all that is still in there, but there's also, like, a whole nother layer of, like... like, character building and, like, to some extent, social commentary on some of it. Because my understanding is that the second game goes places that are, like, kind of uncomfortable in 2017. And I think, like, you could get a sense of that when they came under fire from literal modern Nazis.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is somebody in that game going to wear, like, a Make Germany Great Again hat?
I don't know. It's not quite that. Like, it's more subtle than that from what I've heard of other people in, like, a really, in both a clever and, like, extremely unsettling way. Because the depiction of, basically, this first game takes place, it's still all in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's mostly in Poland. But you don't go to America in the first one. Like,
but the second one is just in America.
Yeah, the second one is only in America. And I think it mostly takes place in, like, the South. Like, I think Louisiana is at least where it starts. But basically, the thing that people have described, like, who have, like, and you can see some of this in, like, the, like, the trailers and stuff, even, so they're not, like, hard spoilers about the game itself.
Well, there
was
that fucking E3, like, Nazi drinking a milkshake. Like.
Yeah, but, like, the things it implies about the future that it sets up, like, this hypothetical reality, which ring true in a way that, like, makes me super uncomfortable, but also, like, I can totally see, like, why they're channeling this in a 2017 context, is that, like, basically, the scenario they set up in that second game isn't like, well, you know, America fought as hard as it could for as long as it could, down to the last man, and then, like, somehow they were overcome. The scenario that they kind of set up is that, like, you know, they made an effort, but as soon as the chips were down, basically, like, I've actually already seen this in the game that I'm playing now, is that, like, they make, like, a single, like, a large nuclear strike on New York City. Like, somehow the Nazis developed nuclear technology in 1950-something. Yeah. And they deliver, like, one big solid blow to America. And then, basically, that's, like, it's America seems to surrender in a way, right, that mm-hmm. similar to the way that the Japanese did in actual World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But then the aftermath of that that they show is that it's basically, like I said, it's a snapshot of life in the South that is depicted as not necessarily that different.
Mm.
Essentially, it's like if the South had kind of taken a non-civil rights influenced course, the idea of a South occupied by Nazis is not that different from just like an unaltered like vision of the American South at
that is unsettling.
Yeah,
the thought that basically that like they that we have more in common than we do not when we're at our worst.
I mean, if you kind of think about it, that's fairly true about any super nationalized like sect of a country.
Sure,
like, it's us or them kind of mentality.
Because there's like a whole.
You could
sequence.
Probably see pockets of that like everywhere, like kind of in the like the Brexit stuff, like last year. God, that was last year.
Yeah.
Ugh, it feels like a lifetime.
Yeah,
ago.
There's a whole sequence early on in that second game that they showed chunks of in some of the marketing footage, like in the trailers and stuff. Where it's basically like. It essentially just depicts, you know, the life of white Americans in the context of this world as like, if as long as they've gone with the flow, you know, their lives haven't changed that much. Mm-hmm. So they were on some level kind of cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like fascism is not that bad, you know, as long as I don't lose as much as my neighbor, essentially is like the subtext of the world that they're setting up in that game. Which is really something.
That's not that far from the truth.
But yeah, I wanna finish both of them because I'm just like I said, I'm still trepidatious about a lot of the content. Like, there's a lot in there that like that I can't say how well it's gonna go for sure. But I want to find out.
Yeah,
like that's the I want to know.
I have never heard. I mean, I hadn't heard that there were like any dabbling into social issues in this game. But I, on top of that, haven't heard that it. Botched handling into social issues. So.
That's
sure,
going to be right. my next that's the, point.
That's the
that
other thing is like, yeah,
I've only heard positive and not like the like I kind of had mentioned the biggest detractor was the gameplay from what I had heard. Like it wasn't like as good I think as people wanted it to comparatively to the other parts of the game.
And I've heard some complicated thoughts about the things that are portrayed in these games, but like nothing that's so like. If it was so bad that it got like headline news, I guess people like I guess we would have heard about it by now. So
there's a scene in a Louisiana school where
exactly.
The school is all Nazi saluting a red Japanese American flag.
But gosh darn it, what was I gonna say? I will touch on the gameplay stuff real quick before we move on. There is a really clever system. Like the shooting is fine, and honestly, in the first game, the biggest hole in the gameplay is that like. There are some sections where the AI is fine, and then I have run into some scenarios where they are like, just like butt stupid, just like guys just standing in corners doing nothing.
I mean, I think
even
they
if you like walk right up on them.
I think they had fixed some of this, but like I have also heard that you can literally just like you don't have to fight like anyone in these games. Specifically, even the second one, you can literally just walk past them and like they won't stop you.
And that right,
they don't bar
and
your the, progress.
Yeah,
you can
one
just,
of the
like,
earliest
buy.
One of the earliest gameplay sequences is like you're breaking into a Nazi prison to break out like a handful of recently imprisoned resistance fighters. Like you basically want to re-recruit these guys so they don't get you know locked up forever, or get executed by the state or whatever. And like the setup is like, well, you should sneak around, you know, and like try not to encounter dudes and just like
another heart attack.
But like I ran into situations where I was just like. I would be standing in front of a soldier, like, 5 feet away from them, but, like, technically behind a pile of shit that's, like, about up to, like, up to my waist, and, like, that wouldn't draw a reaction from a handful of these, like...
It's
so
just
then the
box.
AI, yeah, the AI, I think, leaves something to be desired in certain segments, but, like, specifically in that sequence, I was like, I don't think this is supposed to work this way. I think there's, like... This is a little rougher on the edges in some spots. But
their stealth technology has not improved.
Right.
A sneaking mission.
But as far as like the functional gameplay stuff, it's actually pretty good. And it has a system which I think is really clever that I haven't seen. Like, I don't think I've seen an exact version of it in any game. But it's basically, like, there are basically four tech trees of perks. And you just unlock them dynamically just by playing the game. So there's one for stealth. One for, like, dual wielding, one for, like, explosives, and one for, like, precision shooting, where it's, like, aim down sights and stuff like that. And you don't have to pick like branches of them mm-hmm. manually or anything. It's just as you kind of tick boxes off in these playstyles, they just dynamically unlock new perks that That's are neat. In that playstyle. So like after you've aimed down sights and shot a guy 20 times, mm-hmm. you get a perk related to that ability.
So it's kind of like you know some RPGs where like you use skill like X times and like
yeah, it gets you get better a better version of it, right? Huh. Or like something That's else really down cool. that tree. So yeah, and like so there's ones for like and I've so I, most of mine have been in precision and stealth. Mm-hmm. You get ones for like for silent killing guys after you do that enough times, you'll get abilities that are related to that. And they all just unlock dynamically as you play, and you're not precluded from still unlocking the other mm-hmm. ones eventually, you know, if you decide, like...
You just gotta do that stuff.
Right, yeah, because I hadn't dual-wielded for basically, like, the first 4 hours of playing it, and then I just got to this one sequence where I just needed the extra damage. Like, I just needed to pump more bullets into this giant Nazi robot than I could manage with one gun. So I killed a guy and picked up a second assault rifle, and then,
blah, blah, blah,
like,
blah,
went
blah.
In Rambo style. and as soon as I did that, like, I killed, like, three or four dudes that way and unlocked immediately
yeah,
unlocked another perk
ticking.
For, right, for
That's
a thing
funny.
That I hadn't had before.
Neato.
I think that gameplay system is very smart. Like, I think it's a clever thing that I haven't seen, like, reused in
Especially
many other places.
Especially for something as active as a shooter, like...
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, tech trees always almost feel, like, more repressive in some ways, because you, like, sometimes, like, you have to pick one, like, oh,
right.
I'm going
you're,
down just this path, and you
it.
Get locked out of, like, other ones, or you're like, now I have to respec everything.
Right, yeah, exactly. It always feels good, and you never feel, because, like, it's not closing any doors to mm-hmm. you, and you never
yeah.
feel,
It's literally
like,
just leaving all of them open.
Yeah.
You just have to walk through them.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily feel beholden to the other ones mm-hmm. If you don't play that way, you're not going to get them. So,
you're not losing any progress.
Yeah,
like
I know for a fact that I'm never going to get most of those explosion ones, because I'm just not going that hot on, like, grenades mm-hmm. and rocket launchers. Just like personally, the way I'm playing that game,
and I mean, then it like it's able to cater to your playstyle without extra like menu management, even like
yeah,
it's you like getting better at a certain skill and being rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really smart, and like gameplay wise, that's probably the most like unique thing it has going for mm-hmm. it, because it's basically got that and then dual wielding like Halo 2 style. Are like the things that game does that like most other shooters don't do, because you can literally just dual wield like any gun that you can hold one of, you can have two of. You want two pistols, go for it. You want two just like fully automatic machine guns, fine.
What about two rocket launchers?
You could probably cool. hold two rocket launchers. I haven't even gotten one rocket launcher, so
takes some tough arms to
if
pull
nothing
that
else you should try that, like okay. if you can get your hands on some rocket launchers, you
see
should...
if you can hold two of them.
Yeah. BJ Blazkowicz.
Mm-hmm. yeah, that game is cool. Like I said, it's not perfect.
Sure.
There's gameplay stuff that's rough around the edges, and I still expect, like, I think it's impressive that they got all of that different content in it story-wise, but I still expect there to be, like, peaks and valleys
sure.
of dissonance between, like, it being self-serious and just, like, the fact of, like, the things you're doing in that game. Because mm-hmm. it's still, like, in its highest combat moments, it's mowing down dozens of Nazis.
Mm. Yeah.
the like melee animations and stuff are still pretty brutal. Mm. Like they're not like quite Mortal Kombat level of like
sure.
ripping entrails out of dudes or whatever, but like, you know, it's a graphic slitting of a throat, a graphic ugh. Stab, 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 stabbing of a dude. Like it's an M-rated game for sure.
Yeah.
But I am glad that I've started playing it.
Cool.
And I hope I get the chance to finish them both. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Like I've been playing that, and like I said, Pokemon Go when I had the chance to mm-hmm. walk around.
Still Persona.
I might as well take the transition while it's there. So
go for
I picked up Doom over
okay.
Oh, right
Friday.
On. Nice.
So
another game I've heard very good things right. about.
I wonder how much of that game is just the same engine as Wolfenstein even.
Yeah, I don't know if they share like much similar tech or not, because they are different studios. Like Doom,
are they?
Yeah, Doom is so the IP is owned by they're both owned by id, like
right.
which is a subsidiary of
Bethesda.
Yeah,
and Bethesda shot
and they
these
were both
out.
Yeah, they were both originally id franchises, like id developed games back
yeah.
in the day.
Oh yeah,
right.
But the modern id is the studio who has made the modern Doom,
mm-hmm.
and then. Wolfenstein is made by a company called Machine Games.
That's right.
Which I think is made up of, like, expats from, like, old PC shooter, like not old, like, not quite Doom old PC shooter developers, but, like, mid-2000s.
Quake.
Like post-Quake. Like very much post-Quake. Like, I think it's made up of people who made, like, some of the people from People to Fly Can Fly, maybe. Like, the people who made Painkiller, which was another... It was a very much, like... Doom and Wolfenstein inspired, just kind of like balls to the wall shooter thing, and a handful of other games. But yeah, they're both like under the umbrella of Bethesda and id, but not developed by id in-house. Doom is the only one of those two games
probably not that similar then in terms of gameplay,
but I mean they're similar in the sense that, like, well, yeah, it's kind of preposterous.
Go back far enough, they have basically the same ancestor.
Yeah, it is kind of preposterous that they could revive either of these games in a modern context, let alone revive both of them.
You bought that portfolio, and those are still in there.
Right. But yeah, go on. Like, how are you liking Doom? Because I played a little bit of that last year, too, and I didn't get as deep as I would have liked, but I liked what I saw.
Right. I'm sort of at the same place. I played, like, the first two levels, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. I mean, I was looking for a very light experience, and that's what I got. It sounds like Wolfenstein almost just without any story pretensions. Here's a gun. Right. There's aliens.
And I think I think that's the right route for Doom to go. Like, because that game just starts like you wake up and you're the Doom Marine and you break out of chains and then you start killing aliens or hell monsters.
A computer tries to, like, explain the story of the situation to, and you break it instead of listening.
Yeah, the Doom guy does not want to hear the exposition of why hell has emerged on Mars. Right. He just wants
to give me the gun,
kill the shit out of demons.
I did a little Googling. Machine Games is from Starbreeze Studios, who did The Chronicles of Riddick.
Okay, there you go.
Payday 2. A small portion of them did Brothers, but that was after the group split into Machine Games.
Mm-hmm.
Payday,
that makes some sense. I can see.
It just says Payday 2. They also partnered with EA to make Syndicate, which failed.
Sure.
That reboot or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Lorraine.
I had to know. They're in Sweden. If you were curious.
Shoopy bloopy doop. Anyway, it's weird to me to play a game in this day and age where you're like, this door requires the red key.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, they're not shy about just being Doom, basically.
Yeah.
Even to the point where there's, like, a weird amount of platforming.
Mm-hmm. Although I think, actually, that's one of the things about it that is super clever. Because, like, Doom, like, suggested that at the time. The fact that you're, like, motoring through these fucking weird-ass hallways at, like, 90 miles an hour. Like, it suggested a level of mobility that, like, this game, like, takes on in spirit in, like, the way that, like, it has platforming and stuff. Because, like, the weird... I do remember that there was a lot of, like, jumping and hurtling and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like...
And then there's the even more extreme Mario-type platforming that you need to do to get, like, the secret areas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
To get the red key.
Get the best guns or guns out of sequence or whatever.
You pick up little Doom Marine dolls that unlock, you know, an art gallery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
I'm not right. I'm not kidding either.
I can believe it. I've heard that game is insane.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Mm-hmm. It also, like, has the, like, I think much more
glory kills.
Yeah, much more pronounced than Wolfenstein. Yeah, the cinematic melee stuff.
Uh-huh. Right. Every time you, like, put something in under half health, you can hit, I think it was like the melee button or just like the square, and he just lunges at them and does, you know,
obscene
rips
things.
His skull off or kicks him in the chest and breaks his spine or whatever, and on and on and on.
Right.
And
which
on
which
and
is
on.
Great for an hour, but
sure.
I mean, I'd like to finish it. I'd like to go back to it. I hope I will.
Right. Yeah, right. It's just one
of
those things.
Taking it in small doses,
you gotta find the bandwidth.
Right.
But yeah, those, right, I like, the thing about those glory kills is, like, you want to do at least one or two of them to every enemy in the game.
Yeah. But it really incentivizes them, too, because it gives you health back.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, right, it all is also functional, and that, like, you want to keep your combat flow going, you kind of want to, like, shoot, kill,
mm-hmm.
Literally glory kill.
Literally murder spree your way through the entire world.
Blat.
Yeah, that game is really, like I said, the combination of those two games together is just, like, really wild.
Mm-hmm.
To think that after all those years...
nothing ever dies.
Right. that the fact that you could mine anything usable out of either of them, let alone both of them,
yeah,
in like a modern game context, is pretty impressive.
At least they didn't like stick to the old UI with the bar at the bottom with the weird looking face to change as you got sure. beat up.
Yeah, and the fact that they're actually somewhat different, I think, is like actually very respectable too. Because sure. it would have been just as easy. Like the game I would have expected, like the exact game that I would have expected to be the Wolfenstein reboot to be, would be like the same thing as that Doom reboot. Just right. like the only thing to it is it's balls to the wall and exploding Nazis and
yeah.
murder.
Mecha Hitler.
I'm glad they farmed that out to a different studio just so that it would be different.
Right, yeah. Because if they were the same...
the smartest thing they could have done.
Yeah, like, if they were the same, one or the other would have suffered for it. You know, probably whichever one came second.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, you did that again.
Which might have been Doom?
Yeah, Doom is after. It's
the Wolfenstein okay. 1, Doom, yeah, Wolfenstein 2.
Wolfenstein 1, Doom, yeah, and then Wolfenstein 2. Yep.
Didn't know that. Well, I wonder if they plan on going back to that too, just, you know, Doom 2.
I don't know.
That game sold pretty well and did well in critic reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm certain they'll make another Doom game at some point.
Eventually,
whether it's called Doom 2 and is a direct sequel to this game, or there's just another game called Just Doom in another 5 or 6 years.
See, that's a Ubisoft joint. Just Doom 2018. It's a...
you dance the Doom and Hell Marine. Beasts.
Yeah. Dance your way to Satan's door.
It's going to be like that Star Wars Connect game.
While listening to Call Me Maybe.
There you go.
Nice.
So it's a Doom game in the sense, in like the Crypt of the Necrodancer sense.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. I would play that game.
Descend into hell by rhythmically moving on a grid.
Yep.
Gotcha.
But first person.
But I am terrible at Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Like, I'm not great at it either. Like, I think that game is so cool, but I'm pretty bad at it.
I love that game, but I am so bad at it that I can't play it.
But it's really neat.
I've got a cool Crypt of the Necrodancer pin that I got from the first GDC we went to because it was there.
Mm-hmm.
They had it hooked up to a dance pad that was insane and really funny. Yay.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. Yeah, I'm glad you're liking Doom so far. Do you know how far, like, how many different weapons have you had access to? Because I'm trying to remember what stuff that I got by the time I had kind of, like, ended up putting that game down, but...
It starts you with, you know, just, like, a pistol, and then you pick up, like, a grenade launcher, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or no, it was a shotgun. And then I got a different weapon in the third level, and I think that's all I have.
Okay.
It gives you all sorts of weird, like, upgrades to them, too, and, like...
Yeah, like alt fire functions upgrades, or something like that. Yeah, I kind of remember that. But there were ways to like make the guns you have do different stuff.
I don't know. I mean, that thing seems like a little much for this game, but it's all optional. I'm sure I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. Well, now that I'm thinking about it, my other gameplay style complaint about Wolfenstein specifically is. You can pick up a lot of guns, and you just build up like a gun inventory. Like you can carry more than two guns, basically. As you keep picking them up, you can have like maybe you know between 7 and 10.
Yeah, I think that's an arcade game thing that nobody's gonna adapt in this age. You can have 8 guns.
Yeah, and so the first way you would switch guns is you just tap Y like you would in like a Halo. Like it'll basically switch between the last two selected guns.
Mm-hmm.
That you've had equipped if you tap the Y button. But if you want to pick anything else, in Wolfenstein, you hold down like the right bumper, and then it pulls up like a scroll wheel that you have to like move the right stick to highlight the segment that has the gun you want, and then select it. And that's all in like real time, and dudes are shooting the shit out of you when you're trying to do that. So I've definitely had more than one, like I've lost more than one firefight from trying to swap a weapon like that on the fly, and just been like a few radians off and got, you know, the dual pistols instead of the shotgun that I wanted.
Right. Doom actually has the same system where you just flip through two weapons, or you can hold a button to swap them out on a wheel.
Yeah, and the only thing I would have, like, if you could just pause the game, like, just give me the...
You might be able to do it if you pause the game, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, like, that's the part that bums me out, because, like, the only times it's been problematic are in situations of stress where, like, I ran out of bullets in a thing.
Start panicking.
Or I just needed, like, I need to go from, like, mid-range to close range or whatever. Like, I just need to need a different gun than the one I have. And,
And then the stupid fingers just pull out their sparkler instead of what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Water pistol.
Like, that's, you're dead.
Yeah, that's the only part I think I've had that has been truly frustrating occasionally while playing that. Everything else has been pretty much fine. Like, the AI stuff has been silly, but to my benefit, so I'll take it.
I mean, that kind of just plays into the nonsense aspect of the game.
Oh, sure.
Like, those sprites in the old Wolfenstein game were no Harvard grads either.
Right. Yeah, this game still has dogs also, both mechanical and not. It has regular Nazi dogs also.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Killing dogs isn't fun, but the...
Yeah, like, no media can get away with killing a dog. I think that just ruins it. You lose people when you hurt dogs.
Look, man, it's not my fault they taught those dogs to hate Jews, okay? That's on them. Like, it's not on the dogs. It's not the dog's fault. But it does mean that I have to kill the dogs.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's never fun to kill a dog in a game.
Right.
But sometimes you gotta kill a dog in a game. I have been unsuccessful at... That's one of the one stealth, like, perk that I haven't unlocked yet. Like, the base version of it is you have to kill 5 dogs stealthily. Oh, and God. I have yet to be able to sneak up on a Nazi dog.
Good. That's... not comfortable with this.
Look, man, you don't kill them, they're gonna kill you. You gotta...
Damn.
Did you just stealth around them?
Maybe, depending... Some sequences you probably can.
Dogless.
There's some hallways that, like, look,
man... Can't you rehabilitate them?
Oh, one thing... A thing you can do is you can,
Tell him he's a good
boy? Like, in addition to the inventory system... Right. In addition to the inventory system, that game has super... Wolfenstein, at least, I don't remember... I think Doom sort of has this. It has, like, super old-school health, where you just pick up shit, and it just makes the health number go up towards 100.
You can pick up a blue pack, and you'll have 120% health.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
that's definitely from the blood of the old game.
Right, for sure. And in Wolfenstein, just, like, every single edible thing, you can just pick it up, like... Fallout style. It's like, oh, I got 5 health. Like, because I accidentally picked up multiple bowls of dog food. And I was like, health plus 5. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Sure.
No wonder they want to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Rude.
Take that kibble.
No.
Nazi dogs aren't going to fuck around with that shit.
My pepperoni.
But I chuckled a little bit the second or third time I picked up, like... dog food off the ground and gained health by mistake.
It ate it.
Then it just goes job simulator and you start barfing.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, those games are both super cool. And like I said, they both feel like extremely modern and also like
extremely old.
Yeah, in their own way anachronistic. Even if not even just like tied to the franchises, but the fact that like I said, Call of Duty is so online focused, Destiny is so online focused, like almost all other games in the shooting genre have some high level component of just like it's either about a perpetually connected space or it's about like the PvP. Multiplayer specifically and neither of those games is necessarily that. Like Wolfenstein, I don't think either of the Wolfenstein games has multiplayer at all, and I know Doom has it, and I think it's just like people kind of hate
it got patched in later, I think. It definitely wasn't something I cared about.
Yeah, but like campaign first shooter experiences are not that common these days, so
can't sell loot boxes in a single player campaign.
Right.
God damn it.
Good on both of those games for being different. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Anything else you've been up to, fiddling with, or
I mean, I don't want to talk about Destiny anymore. But I played Destiny, had a couple of quality of life patches.
Sure.
They're trying.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, like that's another conversation that the next time we get Phil on.
Right. I mean, that's the kind of thing we could talk for hours about Destiny and how it makes me feel.
At the very least, it's good that they're still trying. God bless them.
Right.
Because I know it's been a rough couple of weeks.
You wonder if there's like the internal things going on where you have the designers and the people that care about the game fighting with suits saying, we need microtransactions and you have to do this and this and this.
Right, yeah. And, you know, that Activision contract is so long and so complicated that, you know, who can say how much influence those executives have in, like, putting their finger on the scale of what gets into the game and what doesn't and how things are balanced. Yeah, that stuff is very complicated.
But we played the raid for the first time last night a little bit, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, the new one?
Cool.
Like, slightly different.
Yeah, updated.
Quote, raid lair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you need to... Can you just do that apropos of nothing? Can you, like, see that content without doing the other parts of the raid?
Yes. I'm, like, 90% sure, yeah.
Okay.
You just have to be max, or, you know, 300 light level, and I don't even think you need... Or I'm pretty sure you do need the expansion, but... But you don't need to finish the campaign or do anything else. You just need to own it and be, you know, 300.
Okay.
Maybe max level. All
right. Do you enter it basically? Like, do you spawn into, like, the raid area and then you just go somewhere?
You just go a different direction.
Okay. And that's super smart. I like that they did that way. I think that if they're going to, like, if they're going to add, like, iterative chunks to, like, existing pieces of, like, that raid content, I think that's the way to do it.
Keep the stuff that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially because it's still, like, you know, it's still quite a commitment to get the raid stuff together and, like, get everybody on point and focused and everything. So, like, breaking that new content out a little bit that doesn't force you to go through all those original steps to get
dog
to
bottoms.
It, I think it's smart. How many dog bottoms are there? How many times do you call out symbols for...
None yet.
Oh, okay.
The second encounter of three, I think, you have to call out types, you know, like arc, fire, void.
Oh, gotcha. Like damage types.
Right, and you pick up a thing, charge it, and then use it to blow up bombs of that type.
Okay.
It's real neat.
That sounds cool. Sounds like Destiny.
Colorful.
Not a bad thing.
Well designed. Destiny at its best.
Woo!
Neat. Yeah, that's cool. I will definitely play more Destiny 2 at some point. I don't know if it'll be in the next couple weeks or, like, next year when, like, Destiny 2.5 comes out. But like,
I don't know when the next expansion is supposed to come out. Probably February or March.
Yeah, like, I mean, just like Destiny 1, I don't know how often I'm going to come back to that game, but I know that I will come back to it periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there will be points in the future where I continue to play Destiny 2.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
It's a cool-ass thing. I like that. I like the core of that game still a whole bunch. It's very fun.
There's not many like you left. Like, the community is still mostly soured on it.
Cool. I love it.
Awkward silence is accurate.
Right, yeah. That sounds about
that's
right.
How people feel about Destiny 2.
Very cool. Right on. Like I said, I think that's about all I've got. Weather and Nazis. I watched, all right, the last thing I will throw out, and then maybe we'll call it a show, is in my mind, for a lot of these narrative-driven games, I've tied them, like, I tend to tie them into, like, the movies that either they were influenced by or that at some point they kind of influence each other. Like, I'm far from the first person to make that comparison, but the Call of Duty, like, Saving Private Ryan thing is almost a one-to-one relationship with, like, how those games portray that conflict and, like, their tone and tenor. Wolfenstein is definitely not that, so I was, like, scrolling through Netflix and Amazon, like, looking for the thing that comes close, and
Indiana
I was like...
Indiana Jones, maybe?
So I was like, oh, Inglourious Bastards is still on Netflix.
There you go.
And then I watched it, and that movie is 100%, like, that is Wolfenstein in movie form. It's just like, hey, do you want to find
the humor
gratuitous
in
joy in Nazi murder?
9999
Wow. Man. Oh.
That's the one thing I know from that movie. I've never actually seen Inglourious Bastards.
Thank you, Lorraine. That was on point.
You owe Herman Cain $5 for that one.
Damn it.
Man.
How do you know I wasn't just saying the number 9? You can't prove anything.
Lorraine, have you ever... Do you know if
you...
That's
an argument for a copyright lawyer.
Exactly.
Right. Do you know if you've ever seen a Quentin Tarantino movie?
What are some of his movies?
Reservoir Dogs.
Nope.
Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Nope.
Pulp Fiction.
Maybe. I'm trying to remember if I watched it for a film class.
Samuel L. Jackson and fucking John Travolta.
Oh,
and...
no, but I've seen a lot of dumb internet pictures about that.
Sure.
Okay, that's fine. It's
like
not
him
like
him just like fucking just in the, like, that's a good one.
I was just curious.
No, probably not.
Because Inglourious Basterds is very Tarantino-y.
Okay.
And also, their Nazis get got. Their shit fucked up.
Cool. Yeah.
Get got.
Great.
But I was, yeah, I was just curious. Because I remember not. Watching a lot of those, like, movies for your film class and stuff with you, too. And I didn't think there was anything
no, probably
by
not.
Him on the syllabus. But he's a very, like, referential...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a very, like...
He self-references himself.
Yeah, and other, like, in movies in general. Yeah. Like, he's a mm-hmm. super movie nerdy director.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
To each their own.
And he might direct the next Star Trek movie, which sounds fucking ridiculous.
A rated R Star Trek movie?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What is this world?
Which would be really something, but, like, I wouldn't say out of the, like... The fact that like these rated R superhero movies are getting greenlit and produced and like making money, like I wouldn't say it's impossible that like that project might come to fruition. But, so fuck, I don't know.
I didn't read enough of this. Is it based on one of the Star Trek crews or is it just set in the Star Trek universe?
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't even know if
they're far enough along.
Yeah,
yet.
I don't even know if it's like a project that is even like pre-production or if it's just like a statement he made in like an interview on late night TV or something that's like I'd love to do a Star Trek movie if they let me make it rated R.
Speaking of things in pre-production, that freaking Detective Pikachu movie with Pikachu yep. as with Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu Reynolds. Is gonna be a wild ride.
That is
no
so
Danny
weird.
Danny DeVito, but
it's not. Yeah, that is true. But like,
I am not an animal.
Once the scenes are like out, like people mm-hmm. can just redub it over with like just like always starting quotes or something.
Man, that's great. Ugh.
The fact that that movie exists, I don't know where
but,
that
so
falls
another,
on my
another little fun
theaters.
Fact. There recently, like in the past week, there was a European copyright filing for that game.
Right, it sounds like it's going to be localized.
It might be actually localized now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to release a Hollywood
right,
game,
saying,
exactly.
You're going to make the movie.
You might as well release the game first.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that is wild. And I still, like, am baffled by...
Oh, yeah. There's more of a cast. I didn't recognize, like, really any of the other names.
Yeah, and not necessarily that, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds can be the voice of, like, a Pikachu that speaks English as much as anyone else.
Why not?
I'm just baffled by, like, the fact that they would even bother to get him. Like, there's something about... Like, Danny DeVito seems way more plausible to me in, like, a financial
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, budgety.
Like, you can afford Danny DeVito to be the voice of Pikachu. He doesn't have that much shit going on.
I don't think you could explain that joke to a movie executive. You pitch it as Ryan Reynolds. Like, okay, it's a Ryan Reynolds movie.
Yeah, but, like, because just, like, I would think that he probably demands a certain price tag. Like, he's a young, handsome actor who's, like, he's kind of an action movie star now.
Maybe he's doing it for a laugh. Maybe he's just, like...
No, not even that. Like I said, not that he wouldn't
like,
be interested in doing
Deadpool,
it. Just that,
like...
That whoever is putting this project together, like, thought that was, like... We need to get Ryan Reynolds, and we need to pay him. Like we're gonna pay whatever it costs to get Ryan Reynolds to have him specifically be the voice of Pikachu. It's just Hollywood's weird, man.
Yes.
Hollywood is weird.
Most things are also weird.
I normally wouldn't give this movie the time of day, even despite everything around it. But Alex Hirsch is a writer on it.
Yeah.
I believe. So
yeah, he's involved with that project.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll give it a chance.
That was when I first heard that. I was like, okay, I'm going to start keeping more of an eye on this than just,
right.
like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's a strange tornado in, like, the best possible way. Like,
yeah.
A strange NATO.
It's going to be so weird.
Gravity Falls, still so delightful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely, the more time that goes by, the more that I'm glad, like...
It exists.
I'm so glad that it never got the chance to overstay its welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm certain that if it had gone on for another season or two, there would have been plenty of quality episodes mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
But there is almost no chaff in, like, mm-hmm. the series that they produced, so...
A show is only good as its filler, and
it's
even, like, its filler episodes are fucking incredible.
It's great. And like you said, Kyle, like I will totally see this just based on that mm-hmm. alone. Like the fact that he's involved with it is like, I will see this at some point, whether it's like, you know, on Netflix or downloaded from the internet or whatever. I will watch this
Friday
movie
night
someday.
Midnight showing.
Yeah,
maybe.
There you go. That'd be something.
I'd have to see a trailer first. Like I wouldn't commit to that
I'm
right
sure
now.
I'll be, you know, I'll have a good idea what it is before it comes out.
Yeah.
Sure.
I might be on board for that.
Yeah, that's really something. But
speaking of also midnight releases, We go, well, it's not really midnight release. We're seeing Book 7. We're going to see Star Wars tomorrow.
Woo! Man, that is tomorrow, isn't
it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now, they don't do midnight releases anymore. Like, no, you can like, do showings like at midnight, but...
It starts one of like the great... fucking 5 p.m. or something.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Among the great...
No, I think it's probably closer to 7. I think that's at least the cutoff now. But Lord knows when
yeah.
it...
Yeah. There was like... I guess there was some...
I doubt they'd make a movie premiere matinee, so...
So there was some like... I guess if you wanted to see it an hour earlier when I was looking at it again today just to see if there were any uh-huh. tickets left for any of those showings, there was a... You could have paid for like a 6 o'clock showing.
Oh, geez.
That was like twice as much money.
Oh, my God.
And it comes with like a collectible figurine and like a free popcorn with the price of your ticket or whatever. But yeah.
I mean, at least.
Like it comes with, I guess it comes with more stuff.
Yeah, at least it's not just double the price for the exact same like, experience. Like
to see it an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's at least, I'm not completely mad about that.
Mm. But yeah, like the death of the midnight movie is just one more part of like the.
That's too fucking late, man. Best.
Well, it's that combined with like gradually increasing ticket prices. Like mm-hmm. it's essentially how Hollywood has scammed like
oh yeah
their shareholders for these companies into like right. business is better than ever, but it's just because right. movie tickets cost more and because like the mm-hmm. opening weekends are longer because they just yeah. arbitrarily release the movies earlier than they used to. Mm-hmm.
But it's the rare scenario where it works out for both customers and the
right,
company.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like people who sue like movies, earlier. Yeah, they don't. They don't like that doesn't distract from the experience at any point. It
no.
just mm-hmm. your schedule is more flexible if you want to see it, you know, really early in its run or whatever. So yeah, you're not wrong. It's not it's not detrimental to the direct consumers yeah. of movies, but it's just a funny mm-hmm. like it's a very funny, very cynical thing if you like if you explore
you're
it for what it is.
Absolutely right. That's the only reason that they're bleeding into the day before is so that they can.
Some more tickets.
Their weekend box
yeah, everything. Number. Biggest opening weekend ever because right. now the weekend is the 5 days instead of three.
Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon, go see Star Wars.
Yeah.
Next year.
Try to explain relativity to these people and their heads will explode.
yeah. But yeah, I am tentatively, I've gone from tentatively apprehensive to tentatively excited, mm-hmm. so.
I'm tentatively excited.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I still don't even know what I want that movie to be.
Yeah. And 100%, and I think after it's over, the thing I told Lorraine before we got on is, after it's over, even if it's great, I couldn't begin to tell you what I want one or more additional Star Wars movies to be. Like, I'm assuming there'll be threads that are hanging that, like,
mm-hmm.
there'll
oh, yeah.
be a trilogy I mean, that'll be wrapped up after this one's over.
Third movie.
But, yeah.
We will be forced to consume Star Wars until we die. Star
no.
Wars won't. It will just keep going.
Yeah. I hope, if they
Star
are
Star Wars
gonna,
13 too.
Yeah, if they're gonna keep making these movies. That was cold, Brian.
Man.
Probably not inaccurate, but...
It can't fall that far, can it?
Final Fantasy did.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, so... Oh, gosh. All right, I think I'll close out on this thought, and then we'll come back, because we definitely will have the chance to talk about that movie once it's out. But the thing I saw today... Like, I saw some blurb from fucking BuzzFeed or wherever.
Yay!
That was like... is Daisley Ridley done with Star Wars after Episode 9? And even if the answer to that question is
so.
Even if the answer to that question is yes, the answer right. to that question is no.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
like if she takes a break, quote unquote, mm-hmm. like she's gonna be, assuming her career survives and you know, mm-hmm. God willing, she doesn't have some horrible ailment or something and right. pass away far too soon. Mm-hmm. She's going to
no
be in a Mark Hamill
Star
situation.
Wars.
Yeah, like,
oh, yeah.
40 years from now, she's going to be back as the wizened old Jedi Master.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way that the third of those movies she's in is the last Star Wars product yeah. she's in. Like, not even a chance. She'll be making those movies until she's dead.
Yeah, Force Ghost in Star Wars 28.
Yeah.
Oh, it was my favorite one. Like, man.
I think it really peaked at 26, but...
But, you know, 28, really, like, 27, everyone knows was bad. Like, we can just accept that. But, like, 28 was kind of like...
Look, Lorraine.
Like, okay.
My listicle...
The Palpatine clone army fought off that X-Wing.
My listicle of the trilogies is the 8th one, and then the 7th one, then the 4th one.
The funny thing is, the pace that they're cranking these out, this isn't a far-flung future.
Oh, no. It's a galaxy very, very near to here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, I agree we should have just a Star Wars, a larger Star Wars segment next time we do this, but there's got to be diminishing returns on these, and it's going to hit pretty hard, I think.
Yeah, and they're going to be proportional to, like, I think that's going to be proportional to how much they push it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Like, the fact that they're making one movie a year means the diminishing returns are going to be that much quicker, like, in setting on.
That is,
like,
an exponential graph. Like, that's just, that curve is getting steeper. Yeah. Or, like, that way, actually. You can't see my
Like I said, even
motions.
when the prequels, like, got gradually more disappointing,
right,
I was down to see a Star Wars movie every 3 or 4 years.
Only, like, the third time in my life that there was a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, like, As an annual product that has literally, like, an entire calendar year's product cycle of, like...
Yeah, right, the product cycle.
Teaser trailer, trailer, announcement, cans of soup, like, you know, like, new movie, rinse and repeat, like, that's... Yeah. I'm pretty much over that
Force
part of Star Wars
Fridays.
Already, so...
And yet it's eternal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see, but
the Force springs eternal.
Yeah, I can't wait. We will definitely be back, and we'll talk about some Star Wars and probably a couple other things also. But
maybe I'll have finished Son of Moon. Who knows?
Maybe.
Probably not.
Anything can happen.
Probably not. We'll see.
That's right.
Maybe I burned it in a fire.
Who knows? I swear, officer, I don't know what happened.
Anyway,
that Charmander was on fire when I got there.
Oh. I'll take it. It's not going to get better than that. Lorraine, thank you for hanging out.
Woo!
Kyle, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, we will be back in the not too distant future with Star Wars thoughts and video
opinions
games and God knows
nonsense.
What else. Nazi murder. The only
Hopefully
kind
not.
I approve of. So until then, we'll see you later, Internet. Thanks for hanging out.